I do believe that sexual incompatibility could be a reason to end a relationship, but never without trying. Never without trying to communicate in a different way. Tell him that how important it is to you. It's not just throwaway comments, but I really need your help making sure that, you know, I'm pleased too, and how important it is to you, and how you feel that he's not prioritizing your pleasure as well.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. You ever feel like your relationship is on cruise control? Do you continue to have the same conflicts, stale sex routine, or toxic dynamics and want to break the cycle and be with someone who's actually a great fit? Well, I'll help you break out of all that. Today's episode is designed to help you build better sex, dating, and relationship habits. From incorporating kink and exploration into a relationship with someone who's more reserved, to tips to work through jealousy in a relationship, we can all learn so much from this episode. I'll also go over some exercises to build intimacy and share your top green flags when it comes to dating. All this and more on today's show. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, I want to start off by setting an intention for the show, and I encourage you to do the same. My intention is to help you learn practical behaviors for strengthening your sexual and romantic connections and habits. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. My new article, Sexual Wellness Trends to Try in 2023, is up at sexwithemily.com and linked in the show notes. Check out my YouTube channel, social media, and TikTok. It's all at Sex with Emily for more sex tips and advice. If you want to ask me questions, leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily or call my hotline 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And you can totally change your name or choose to remain anonymous. Before we get into today's episode, I want to tell you all about Vush. You've heard me talk about Vush before. They make such incredible toys. And they have a whole new campaign. It's the I Come First campaign, which essentially is a 30-day masturbation challenge, which, as you can imagine, I can get behind that, can't you? So I know that there's a lot of concerns around masturbation. People think they don't have time for it or they feel guilty. But when you commit to masturbating, it shows that you prioritize yourself and your pleasure for an entire month. So you know you're going to see some growth and improvement. So I think you have to check out their Empress 2 Clitoral Vibrator to help you on this challenge. It's a clitoral vacuum stimulator, and it has these pulses of air that are similar to oral sex. You know it feels good. So in honor of you coming first and Vush's campaign, you can get 50% off the Empress 2 if you use code SWE50 while checking out at vushstimulation.com. That's V-U-S-H stimulation.com. And the code is SWE50 for 50% off the Empress 2. And let us know if you take their I Come First challenge. Let's do this. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a cultural icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini or Micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent?
Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Permessin's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promessin. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promessin's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promessence.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promessence is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promessence.com/Emily. promessence.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. So these are just some things that I love giving you guys, little things that you could do that could just get you out of the rut, change a state you're in. And the first one is a staring contest. Set a timer for 2 minutes, and I want you to sit across from your partner and stare into each other's eyes without breaking eye contact. Now, this might sound super scary to you, and the reason why I thought about bringing this up is because I have a friend who's been in a relationship for a few years. I would say they haven't done a lot of deep work around emotions, and there's stuff going on. And she said to me, we went to therapy and the therapist made us stare into each other's eyes for 10 minutes and it was horrible. She said, but then it was great. And this is so not my friend. And I was going, oh, thank God she had you do that, because it's all about intimacy. That's why it's so terrifying. It's about creating intimacy. And this is what we do. We read each other's facial cues, right? That's most of what we say is nonverbal anyway. Most of what we communicate is nonverbal. And so to do a practice like this, where you have to stare into each other's eyes for 2 minutes, it's okay if you laugh. It's okay if you giggle or you look away. You know, we're not like gonna, no one's gonna, it's just something that you're doing to deepen your connection. And then afterwards, you just share feelings, like what came up for you during the exercise? What did it make you think? You know, it's a very awkward thing, but if you think about it, it's your partner. It's someone you love or you're connected with. Shouldn't we be able to stare into their eyes for 2 minutes? Even that, that's a way of, you guys are always saying it's hard to communicate. I understand. Just look into each other's eyes for 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I won't even make you do it for 10. You'll see what comes up. And that also reminds me, I had to do that when I was taking a somatic therapy training course. It was a 5-day a week course over a period of 6 months. So every other month I went to San Francisco, and for 5 days it was really deep somatic, which means embodied experiences. And our very first day of the 6 months was turning to the person next to you and staring in their eyes for, I think it was 5 minutes. I was also in a different place then too. And I was like, oh my God, first off, don't have me break into a group. I hate when you're like breaking into small groups now. I'm like, ugh. I hate that. And then not only that, I had to turn to the person next to me and stare in their eyes. And I remember he was like 6'5" and I'm 5'2" and like my neck hurt. I'm staring at him and I'm like, can we sit down? It was just awkward. It was a guy and there weren't that many guys in the classes. I'm like, is this going to be sexual? It was a whole thing. But what happens is once you get past the weirdness and the eye contact and like the awkwardness, then you just breathe through it. And you're both in it, right? It's not like you're staring into someone's eyes and they're not. It's that you're doing it together and just seeing what comes up. That's it. Set your phone 2 minutes and then talk about it. I'm telling you, stuff is going to come up for you. So that's my first thing, is do a staring contest. It'll take you 5 minutes. 5 minutes with your partner, 2 minutes to stare, 3 minutes to talk about what happened. The other thing is, oh, this is fun. The roller coaster. This is 20 minutes. Set the timer for 10 minutes and have one person describe one of their highest moments and one of their lowest moments. Then the other person just listens. Listening is key. And make sure not to interrupt, add details, or comment. This is a hard thing to do. I have to do these in a lot of therapy classes I take and courses, and you're like, oh, but what about, nope, you can't talk. You're like, remember that time or wasn't it fun? No, you let them, you give them the floor for 10 minutes, their highest and their lowest moment. Then you switch and you get to do it as well. And it's actually a great thing you could do every week with your partner. And there's something very clearing about that because a lot of times we want to fix our partner. We want to help them. We want to make them better, but sometimes you just need to listen. So I'm suggesting you can do all of these exercises at once. First, you do the staring exercise, which is the most grounding. You stare into each other's eyes and you just feel. You really, it drops you in to a very intimate place with your partner without the sex. Then you do your 10 minutes, your high and low moments. Then you do a clearing. And this is where you set the timer for 15 minutes. So here's this, you know, we talk a lot about relationship check-ins. This is a great one for the check-in. You sit across from each other. One partner finishes each of these statements as many times as they can. Something I see in you that I see in myself is, something I like about you is, the other person, again, you listen without responding, without commenting, and then you switch. So it's sort of a clearing, and it helps with listening. It helps engaging. It's sort of a great exercise so you can get to a place of connection. I mean, those are some really real things to share. Like, I want you to know something about me. I want, something I like about you. And so when you're forcing ourselves to keep answering these statements, you would find that you're going to start to reveal things that maybe you wouldn't reveal. Maybe you wouldn't normally, because you keep going around, you keep saying it, you keep going. That's the brilliance of this exercise. So sometimes there's old resentments that come up, right? If you keep going in around, something I want you to know is, and you just keep saying it, but you each have 15 minutes to do it. And how this works is your partner would keep saying like something, you know, they'd say something I want you to know is, something I see in you, I see in myself. And you do it for 10 minutes. Imagine what could come up. Listen, resentments are the things that are killing your relationship. I promise you that you think you're just not having sex and that's the problem, but there have been resentments. There have been things that have built up over time. Now, some couples get, it's too late. You get to a point where it's too late and you're never going to get past the point of the resentments. But if you start clearing them now, this is a clearing exercise, it will help you move along.
Okay, now I want to take some of your questions. The first one is an email. It comes from Jewel. She writes,
I've met an amazing, strong, loving, healthy, and caring man. However, my boyfriend of 3 years is quite introverted. We see each other 3 days per week. We've been out of town together 3 times. He's met my family, but he's never been out of town to their homes. I have 2 children, which has brought him pause for spending more time together and moving in. I've been in school and working in a demanding healthcare career as well as single motherhood. So my time's limited. I graduated and I'm ready to move the relationship forward and get involved in more outgoing activities. Can this relationship survive? Should we seek counseling? What are your recommendations for me? Okay, you're really, really busy right now, Jewel. You're a single mom. You're working 2 jobs. You're raising the kids. And you want to know if it can last because you want to be more outgoing and you said he doesn't like to go out. I think right now you need to choose yourself and you need to choose your kids. And let me tell you a gift right now. Sometimes it's okay to say, I don't really have time for a relationship right now. If you feel like you need to take a pause, because I don't want your next pressure to be, I have to go out all the time and do all these things with a partner that you don't want to do. Unless you're saying that he's very introverted and you're extrovert, and that's already a problem. Like if you're saying, no, I want to go out and he doesn't, that doesn't go away. So when you date somebody on their potential, like, well, maybe once we get married or we spend more time together, then they're going to want to go out with me. Nope. I know a lot of people who are introverted and their partner's extroverted. And either you know it going into it, I'm going to be doing a lot of things alone, I'm going to go out without my partner, or you just decide that you want someone who's your partner in life, who shares everything with you that you do, that you can share activities with, and that likes to go out and be social. So that's really something I think that you could do, Jewel, if you want it. You don't have to figure this out on your own. I would be very honest with your boyfriend and say, really busy, got a lot on my plate. Twice a week, I would love to have you go out with you and try something. I would love to have a date night once a week. And then once in 8 weeks, I'm going to go out with my friends. Can you commit to once a week doing a fun activity that we plan together? And then if he's like, I can't guarantee it, or I never want to do that, well, then you have your answer. But if you make a commitment about what it looks like for you guys to be on the same page about, you know, what you want to do together, like I think that that's what we got to get clear on, is that you're not asking for anything crazy, and you're asking me if it could survive goes into like, think of how many relationships would be so much more successful if we had these really realistic, practical, pragmatic conversations. Like, you know, we didn't just think, well, maybe one day they'll see my way, to say, no, this is what I need. I'm still sorting it out, but it looks like I will be satisfied with once a week out in the town with you. What is that? How does it look for you? And then see what they say. And then you can plan those things, activities that you both like, and then you get on the same page. It's just conversation. It's communication. It's being vulnerable, because these conversations aren't easy. If asking for what you want and your needs, if asking for what you want and getting your needs met was easy, everyone would be doing it. We wouldn't have any problems. Be like, I'm pretty satisfied. Got my needs met. My relationship is fantastic. We communicate. We have the most excellent communication. We know exactly how to talk about what we want in and out of the bedroom. It is a skill set. We have to develop it over time. Oh, Tim, 63 in Las Vegas. Thanks for calling.
Hey,
what's going on?
Emily, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. We have been together for 10 years. We've always had a great relationship. We've both had very high management, upper positions, crazy working hours. So we didn't have as much lovemaking or sex prior to COVID. For the first time in our entire 10 years, we're together 24/7, 365. And we loved it. It was great.
I love it, Tim.
Right. So we actually got to have a lot more sex. And we're both in great shape, work out, no health issues or anything like that. She is kind of opposite of a lot of your listeners that we listen to, in that she can orgasm very quickly, and she can do it with penetration. She really likes that. She can orgasm clitorally also, but she's very quick to orgasm.
Great.
And so we'll have foreplay. We've always used toys. We've always done different things. The one thing that I've noticed is, hey, I'm 63. I don't have any problems with an erection or anything, but I'm not going to ejaculate every day unless there's a lot of foreplay. Mm-hmm. And so most of the time, actually, she's pretty quick to, foreplay's great, we're having fun. Okay, I need you now, inside me. And I'm like, okay, that's great, but I could use a little bit more foreplay, hon. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of tried to figure out some things. We even talked about, you know, because sometimes we can go fairly long time. One, we had like this 2 or 3 hour session, and she's like, I haven't had one of those for like years. And that was huge fun. But we've even talked about adding somebody in to kind of help extend things out. What do we do? So I'm trying to figure out, what can we do to kind of get that foreplay longer and sort of slow her down in terms of, I need you now.
Yeah, it's a great question. So what you're saying is, did you have more time during COVID and now you don't? Okay. So now there's foreplay.
So now we're back
right
to that whole 12 to 14 hours, working crazy hours, you know, six days a week.
It's been rough.
And now we don't have that quality time that we used to have even.
How about the weekends?
Yeah.
I think that setting up and letting her know, painting a picture of what foreplay looks like for you.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know what your most excellent foreplay looks like when you feel the best? What happens? What goes down? Paint the scenario. And then you could explain that to her. But you can tell me too.
It starts mentally, actually, because we'll talk about sex.
Great.
We'll talk about different things in our life that we've, and she was in a really controlling relationship for a long, long time. And I got to tell you, your show really helped move her out of that body shaming, I feel guilty, you know, about sex type thing, and really has helped her embrace more of her sexuality, which has been terrific. But mentally it helps, you know, if we spend some time, you know, we've even played a little strip poker and stuff like that, which has been huge fun, where we can, you know, whoever loses wins type thing. Blowjobs are terrific. Having her, helping her orgasm with the toy and stuff like that's also a turn on too. But
you said also it was mental. So talking about it too. So how are you, I mean, really it's just a matter of scheduling it, saying that we're going to, you know, going away for a night and saying we're going to get out of this room and, you know, we're going to get a hotel room even for a night in your own city. So I'm switching up our environment because you've been home so much. But I, you know, if you've been listening, I always say you have these conversations when you're, you know, outside the bedroom, having a drink at dinner, and like start to paint her scenarios that you really like. You love when she texts you things in the morning, talking about that evening, or at night when you talk about, you know, start building up, because the foreplay is all about anticipation, whether it's mental or physical. So there's something that you need, like your ideal, because if you're talking about time, like really, like you get in bed and you guys are exhausted. And there's no time. I understand that. That's something that, you know, but on the weekends, would that be enough for you if maybe on Sundays there was more foreplay or Saturdays? Because maybe if you painted the picture or you're like, one day a week, we're going to make this our date night. We're going to turn off our phones. We're going to take a bath, or we're going to get massages, or you're just going to like, it's okay to plan it out. And you can always have surprises, like bring in new toys or bring in a third, like you were saying. But I feel like you're going to have to do, you know, some of it, because if there really isn't time and she's not expecting it, you know, that's tough. The other thing is, like I said, when you're sitting down, letting her know, I think I cut myself off, but letting her know when you're having a conversation outside the bedroom, you know, these are all the things I love about our sex life, but I realize that I get the most aroused, the biggest, you know, ejaculate release when I have a little bit of foreplay. And so I know we're really busy. Ask her for her suggestions. So if this is something that's core to my arousal, how do you suggest we work it in? Because I'm sure she wants to please you. Most of our partners want to be really great lovers.
We actually are pretty good about having those conversations outside the bedroom, thanks to listening to you, actually. We've been pretty good about that. But just in the physical act, there just gets to the point of where she's like, okay, I don't have any control. I just need you now type thing. And I'm like, hey, I'm not ready yet, but...
What if you just like tease her and you say like, I'm not going to give it to you now. Or you know, you just sort of made it a, like you touch her for a minute and then she goes down on you and then you go back to her and then she goes to you and you could, that's the best sex. And that is foreplay. The buildup, the anticipation, the edging yourself until you get to orgasm is so hot. We don't do that enough.
Yeah. And I've kind of actually thought it makes sense. I've thought about that. I've thought about, well, because actually for most of our relationship, the focus has been on her. You know, her orgasm and her foreplay and those types of things. And it's now it's like, maybe we're not going to break that toy out, or maybe I'm not going to go down on you until you have some time with me.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you say it, like, you know, I would just say, you know, I realize it, what the best sex we have, or when I feel the most aroused and I really want to go down on you, is when you go down on me first. It means a lot to me. Do you think she recognizes it? Like, have you ever talked to her about it?
Yes.
Okay. But you know, if you
like to do that, yeah.
Okay. She probably just forgets or gets busy. But I think if you bring it up again in a really heartfelt way, like not with a threat, and I know that you're kind of joking, but not just with a threat, like not with a ultimatum, like I'm not going to go down on you unless you go down on me. But I think if you genuinely come from a place of, I know, but if you come from a place of why it makes you feel turned on and aroused and why it's important to you for her to tease you and do foreplay, I'm thinking that any wife is going to be like, okay, I hear that's a need. And you might have to say it again, because sometimes we get busy and we forget. It's really hard to change a habit. It's really hard to start a new behavior that we've never done. She probably has never done it. You've always been going down on her. Yeah. So just be kind, be patient, but still bring it up to her. You deserve it. You do deserve yours. Absolutely.
I will do that.
Okay. Thank you.
After the break, I'll be talking about relationship green flags and taking more of your questions, so don't go anywhere. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. So some things I want to talk about is that we asked this question on Instagram, and our Instagram is Sex with Emily. How about that? And the question was, we often talk about red flags, and I want to talk about green flags. And so I'm just curious, what were some green flags for your relationship, right? Red flags are like, oh my God, they're a smoker, or they yell a lot, you know, but I love, we got so many great answers. When they have a therapist is a green flag, which I love. And I agree. Chivalry. Having the same values and being a good communicator, also a green flag. And one that really stuck out to me said, he knows I struggle with my relationship with food. One night, I texted that I was struggling to eat. He offered to come over to sit with me while I ate. No judgment, just support. And I think that's so important that if somebody makes you feel judged, like you're walking on eggshells, leave. Just leave that relationship. It might feel okay because you might think, well, it's familiar. And maybe, I'm just going to say this, perhaps you came from a household where you felt like you were always walking on eggshells, where you were being judged by a family member. And perhaps that could transfer into kind of you're tricking yourself that that's attractive to you and a partner. And I'm telling you, a judgmental partner, you know, is going to judge you. Like, even if they judge other people, they'll probably be judging you. I just have a hard time with judgment. Judginess. Don't like it. So that one stuck out to me. What else? Not being afraid to show effort and interest. A guy being apprehensive to do things because he respects you and your body. I like that when guys are like, I don't want to just make assumptions here that you need me to fix this or do this thing for you. Some other green flags, how you know you could stay in a relationship, is consistency in communication. That's a big one. I think that, you know, if somebody, let's say it's 3 months in, and you're like, well, they're really consistent during the week, but then I don't hear from them on the weekend, or they were great the first month, and then they were, and now they're back. That is going to be the blueprint for your relationship. If someone's inconsistent in the beginning, they're inconsistent. If they are not making an effort or making you feel judged, I mean, typically that's how it's going to be. You know, people show you who they are, believe them. Independence. We could function on our own. We want each other. We don't need each other. That's a big one. You don't want to be with someone because you feel like you need them. They have to save you. Openly discussing insecurities with a growth mindset. That's a great one. You know, I remember it took me a while dating somebody where I was like, he never shared anything that he felt insecure about or that was wrong. And I'm like, I just don't trust. Like, everything's great.
And then I realized he was always talking about other people's problems. He loved talking about his friends' problems and like the drama his friends were having in relationships, but never talked about his own challenges and insecurities, because we all have them. So now that would be a red flag for me. Someone else said, open about mental health, encourage me to get therapy. Now, the opposite of that be, like for me, a red flag would be, didn't talk about mental health and thought that that therapy was nuts, right? Tipping well at a restaurant and treating the staff with respect. I agree. Green flag, red flag, no tip and being an asshole, right? So, you know, what were some of your green flags that gave you the go-ahead and what were some of your red flags in a relationship?
Let's get into some more questions. This email comes from Sarah. She's 23 and lives in North Dakota.
Thanks for an amazing podcast. My question is this. I'm 23. My husband's 28. We've been together for a little over 3 years. From the beginning of the relationship, I expressed to him how would I want in the bedroom, what he wants. And I believe communication's key. I've had this talk so many times with him, I can't count. It always goes back to him finishing in 2 minutes. I'm left there. He also does not like my kinks, such as saying daddy or sucking toes. I have no pleasure and now little interest in sex with him. I feel I communicate my needs, but I always go back to him just finishing and I'm disappointed. I've reached my limits in expressing my needs. Is sexual incompatibility enough to end a relationship? Other parts of our relationship are good, but I feel lost. Side note, he also doesn't want me to get more tattoos or clitoral piercing. I feel as he's trying to put me in a box because he doesn't find what I like sexy. All right, so like a lot of these questions, it's not just about the sex. What I hear here is that there's a control thing going on. He's telling you what you can and cannot do. I'm wondering if there's other areas of your relationship where you feel controlled when he is saying to you, I know, you can't get a clitoral piercing. You can't get another tattoo. You can't have me pleasure you. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Because when I read the first half of your email, I was like, oh, okay, this is that classic, I've told my partner 6 times what I want in the bedroom and they don't do anything. What should I do? Because the truth is, he might not know exactly what you want specifically. Sometimes having these conversations outside the bedroom, you're like, tell him why it's so hot for you to call him daddy. If you understand that those things are primary parts of your arousal, then he might be more willing to please you. However, you're also talking about the fact that he comes in 2 minutes or less, which means he's a premature ejaculator. Got news for you, Sarah, that doesn't change unless he works on his premature ejaculation. And if you go to sexwithemily.com and you look up premature ejaculation, you'll get tons of blog posts that are going to give you some information on how to deal with it. But my best tips are he could practice a stop-start method, which is when he's masturbating, he goes from 1 to 10. Like 10 is ejaculation, 1 is not aroused. And when he gets to like an 8.5, he does an orgasm and he goes down. He goes down in arousal, then he brings it back up again. Then he goes back down and brings it up, meaning at that point he can ejaculate and try it a few times and it's a practice. He has to do it all the time. It's called edging or stop start. There's also doing his Kegel muscles to strengthen his pelvic floor. And the other thing is Promescent, which is a quickly absorbing delay spray that helps men last longer in bed. But I feel like he's going to have to work on it. It takes time for men to get over premature ejaculation. Now, the other thing is, if he comes quickly, he should be pleasing you in that moment. He should be going down on you, sucking your toes, whatever it is you need. So I do believe that sexual incompatibility could be a reason to end a relationship, but never without trying. Never without trying to communicate in a different way. Like, try to tell him that how important it is to you. It's not just throwaway comments, but I really need your help making sure that, you know, I'm pleased too, and how important it is to you and how you feel that he's not prioritizing your pleasure as well. So that's what I recommend, Sarah. And then if you've tried all that and he still says, I don't care, I'm just going to come and I'm going to go to bed after that, and I don't, you know, then we got to talk. Let's talk to Brian, 42, in Iowa. Hi, Brian. What's going on? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem. So I was just kind of responding to the aspect trust of cheating and you know, what my wife and I do is we kind of put it on each other, so because we both believe that, you know, it's really easy to have jealousy feelings, you know, depending on the situation. So we make sure that we take care of each other versus, hey, it's your problem to try to figure out this jealousy. We make sure we help them through it by doing different things. Kind of like you mentioned, we give, you know, we have open access to phones, computers, emails, it doesn't matter. And we actually openly talk about if there is any type of jealousy.
And you openly address it. That's been a great way, Brian. Sounds like that's really worked. How long have you guys been together?
15 years.
Great. Was there ever a time where you felt jealous early on in the relationship and then you kind of had to put these practices in place, or you've always sort of intuitively known what to do?
More her than me. She deals or kind of struggles with it a little more. And so I've always kind of accepted that as something that I need to do to make sure that in our relationship, whatever happens, my actions, everything that I do, I make her feel comfortable so she can feel safe but not have to worry about a relationship.
That's great, Brian. I love that. And you guys check in about it. That's good. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. Super helpful.
No problem.
You talk about all the things. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Yeah. You know, I know that there's a lot of people I know who are in open relationships or alternative relationships, and they sort of find a way to transcend the jealousy. They kind of, maybe they feel it in the beginning, or, but they talk about it all the time. And then you realize after some time of being with someone in a healthy place that you just sort of get to that point of compersion we talk about, where you are actually experiencing joy if your partner's experiencing pleasure with someone else. The people I know who are in healthy open relationships sort of don't really have the jealousy in that way because they work around it. And I think that people in monogamous relationships can do the same kind of things with jealousy.
That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.